So our readings began today with an overview of the creation story, God making man and the garden, and Eve out of Adam, and man naming the animals. And our psalm for today, Psalm 65, is a song of praise to the Lord for all of creation. I understand you're having a stewardship theme at the moment, so hopefully this will fit in nicely. Whatever your thoughts and theology are on the origin of the planet and the creator of this world, I don't think anybody could argue with the fact that we have been extremely blessed. We've been blessed to be put here on this planet, a place that's so beautifully designed just for us. It has everything we need and so much more that we discover all the time. Food, medicine, companionship. Scientists are discovering new medicines and new treatments and new plants all the time, even today. In our Genesis reading, we see that God brought the animals to Adam, to name. And I'll just read those couple of verses. Now the Lord had formed out of all the ground all the wild animals and the birds in the sky, and he brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. That must have been an interesting job. Could you imagine trying to name everything that was living? To look at it, think about it, think about what it looked like, how it moved, what it seemed to do, what name just went with it. We don't watch our children when we name them for a while, do we? We've usually chosen the name beforehand. But I wonder what that must be like, getting the privilege to just watch all these things go past you and think, oh, that's a so-and-so, and that's something else. But the act of giving a name is quite important. It symbolises not only authority, but responsibility. Naming is a very important thing in general in the world. Has anybody ever watched The Tudors or any royal drama series of any kind? It's important whose name a child is given, isn't it? Like life or death sometimes on whether a child is claimed or not. Women and children were banished from courts, and at times it was really a life or death matter. A man would give a child his name as he took responsibility for that child. And it then meant about succession, obviously, in those TV shows. And the life and the future of that woman, too. Joseph was told to name Jesus. Anybody could have been told to name Jesus. Mary could have been told to give Jesus his name. But Joseph was. He was to do that as it was his responsibility as his father. As someone who took care of him as his earthly father, it was his responsibility to name him. So when Adam was given the name, it was about Adam being given authority and rule over the animals, but it was also about working together. A sign that Adam was playing a part in something that God was doing. God was creating, and Adam was looking at names and being given responsibility, a position of oversight and a share in what was going on. Whether you believe the creation stories to be accounts of real events or a story that we can learn from, I think we can agree that we have responsibility as living beings on this planet to care for what we've been given, to care for the world around us. We can see a million things going wrong with the planet right now. Evidence of global warming is all over the place. The weather's changing quite quickly. In the last few years, you might have noticed there have been many changes in the weather. We haven't expected any of these things to happen, yet it seems that we're noticing more and more issues. And there can be times when we think that we're on top of things, when things are starting to change, where new government agreements are being made, Greta Thunberg is all over the press and making strides to change things, but then suddenly something else gets in the way. Something else distracts the world's attention. The problems don't get fixed, they don't get sorted out, and we forget about our own responsibilities. And then we can slide back to allowing people to break climate agreements and breach carbon neutral agreements, break their targets and step back on promises and commitments. As a whole world, we're frequently driven and distracted by what we see in the press and public eye. There are so many things going on all over the world, but also so many things going wrong all over the world. But we forget about stuff because the newspapers don't put it in front of us. Tomorrow's headline is a new one. There's something else that they're talking about. And what was big news yesterday has disappeared. We stress about things because sometimes the press talks about it constantly, and then we don't worry about things because the press stops talking about it and it gets forgotten from our minds. This can cause us a lot of worry, and sometimes to leave us feeling quite despairing and quite low about what's going on, particularly when we see bad news after bad news after bad news. We can wonder where God is in all of this that's happening. But we are followers of Jesus. We are followers of Jesus. He is bigger and better than all of that stuff that goes on. I think sometimes we forget about the power that comes from being a follower. Our New Testament reading is the one where Jesus calms the storm. In front of the harassed and stressed out disciples, he rebukes the storm and also the disciples. He's in control, even though it might not feel like it at times. He's in charge, and he gives us the gift of being involved and even getting to be present when he does something amazing like he did then. Looking after this world and keeping our eyes open on what's going on takes a lot of focus. It takes us to not focus on what everybody else is concentrating on. For example, if we were concerned about the latest climate event, some flooding or something had happened somewhere, it would be in the news for a couple of days, but then we'd have to go find it, wouldn't we? We'd have to keep Googling it and keep trying to find out what was going on in that area to keep it in our prayers and to keep it in our thoughts. We have to focus all the time on what we want to focus on what Jesus is doing, rather than what everybody else is doing around us, a bit like the disciples in that storm. But we are not alone in the task. I've had a couple of things in my head all week. One of them is the prayer we're going to pray before communion. Yours, Lord, is the greatness, the power, the splendor, and the majesty. Everything on heaven and on earth is yours. All things come from you, and of your own do we give you. That's been in my mind for a couple of weeks now, for personal reasons, as well as today. I was very pleased to see it in the order of service. Really, really pleased. Whilst we can reassure, we know God's in charge, we know God can fix stuff, but sometimes we don't see it. I wonder if there's a way that we can truly sit and sink in that. Maybe take those words that we're going to say before communion at the preparation of the table and sit and pray them. Take them home and pray them over and over. Remind ourselves of how in charge and in control he is. Our psalm today, Psalm 65, I have a, shall we say, a modern rewrite of it here. And this is talking to God. You well deserve the praises of your children, O God, and they should fulfill their promises to you. Everyone must eventually face up to you, and it must be with all our sins and shortcomings. But those who come in sorrow and repentance shall find you merciful and gracious. You, O Lord, shall forgive their sins and fill their hearts with your love and joy. O God, you reach out to save us. You are the single eternal hope of all humankind. You make your power known to us in the majestic grandeur of the mountains, in the thunderous roar of the oceans. Your abundance is poured out on us, in the grain-laden fields, in the flocks and herds in the meadows, in the gentle rain that caresses the green hills. Your love for us is manifested. in your acts of great deliverance on our behalf. You well deserve the praises of your children, O God. We must come to the one who oversees everything. The one who knows our future, knows our world and all its issues. It should be in our daily prayers, in our intercessions each week. We can't fix everything. We can't sign every petition. We can't speak out about every single thing. But fortunately, we don't have to do it alone. He is with us in the middle of this chaos. He can guide us and inspire us to which things we need to be concentrating on, which petitions we need to be looking out for. We don't have to do it alone. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the world you've placed us in. Thank you for the oversight you have given us. Lord, as we look around and see so many things that are wrong with this world, guide us by your Spirit. Give us desires in our heart to help and to challenge injustices. Forgive us for the part we've played in not caring for this world and its people as you would. We need your help and your power. Thank you that you are in control. You can calm the waters. Step in, Lord, we pray, and heal this world. May your kingdom come and your will be done here on earth. Amen.